Vero Beach made national headlines in 1950 when a grisly killing was discovered on an island in the Indian River. A fisherman named Charlie Chapman killed another fisherman, Charles Shrewsbury, but claimed it was self-defense. The two men had spent the day shrimping together. Then they built a fire in a 55-gallon oil drum. At some point, they started arguing. Something about one man's boat hitting the other man's and chipping the paint. Shrewsbury came after Chapman with a grubbing axe. Chapman then struck him with a piece of firewood, and that killed Shrewsbury. But as any longtime resident knows, there's much more to this story. Just ask Marvin Carter.
I'll tell you the way I remember it. He and a friend of his were camping and living on, I think, on the west shore of the river at that point in time. And they drank a lot, and I got into a fight, and he killed this other fellow, I think more by accident than anything. Then he reportedly didn't know what to do, so he tried to burn the body up in this big 55-gallon drum.
He kept the fire going all night, and at daybreak placed the bones and ashes in a box. The victim's identity was confirmed when police found a tooth with a gold crown. Later, when the magazine Front Page Detective featured the crime in its pages, the headline read, "A Tooth for a Tooth."
My mom always said that for weeks, there was really a terrible smell lingering over the river and the barrier island.
Jens Tripson and countless other locals who were born after the crime heard the scary tale from their parents. Chapman was convicted of manslaughter. As the Vero Beach Press Journal put it, his trial was appropriately set on the day of Halloween. He served about 8 years in prison, and then he came back and lived quietly on the river. And forever after, boaters, skiers, and just about everybody else knew him as Barbecue Charlie. Carter actually had a few encounters with him.
He would still walk the town, pick up some groceries every once in a while. I picked him up on one or two occasions when he was walking back and took him back to the ridge. I think he kept the little boat that he travel back and forth on the river to where he was. And he was nice of a guy as he could be. But I can remember when my kids were coming along, we had the little houseboat. We'd always tell the story about Barbecue Charlie's, and we'd always stop there about dark, you know, and make the big story about what was going on. And it was kind of a Frankenstein type deal, you know.
Trying to scare your kids into being good. Well, he lived on one of the islands when he came back from prison.
I lived on Fritz Island for a while, and I think he lived on the west shore of the river, north of where the current bridge goes across.
And everybody in town knew who he was, didn't they?
Pretty much so, yeah. I don't remember what ever happened to Charlie, whether he just got to the point where he couldn't survive out there or what, but he's no longer around anyhow.
Did he ever talk about the incident with you when you gave him rides?
Never brought the subject up. I didn't want to touch on a spot he didn't want to talk about. He was always nice and friendly and appreciative of rides, but I never brought the subject up.
When Charles Chapman died in 1969, the Press Journal listed his age as 97 and identified him simply as a retired fisherman. He was buried in the Winter Beach Cemetery. Special thanks for research material for this show go to Pam Cooper. She heads the Florida History and Genealogy Department at the Indian River County Library. You can now listen to Floridays online. Go to WQCS.org and click on Audio Archive. For 88.9 FM, I'm Janie Gould.